going to get you to turn to two passages of Scripture. Well, actually, one passage and then just a little text. And if you've got a Bible, I'm going to invite you to turn with me to Exodus in chapter 3. And we're going to read the first 10 verses. And then if you want to put a little marker over in Matthew chapter 4, then I'll encourage you to go to Matthew chapter 4, the temptations of Jesus. And just one little verse, Jesus replies back to Satan a particular answer to a question. Exodus chapter 3, the first 10 verses. But when you're looking it up, I'm sure you've all often heard the expression, all picture but no sound. Does anybody know what that means? Let me see a show of hands. Do you know what it means, all picture and no sound? Has anybody ever experienced it? Oh dear. Have you been on the receiving end? Has it happened? And for days it's all been all picture and no sound. And it's got so bad, and you've called in the experts, and they've failed, and still it's all picture and no sound, and finally you throw up your hands in despair, and you trade it in for a new model. Is that right? I'm talking about a television here. I know what you thought. You thought I was talking about your neighbours, didn't you? And that's what people think about God, that it's all picture and no sound, that you can't hear from him, that he doesn't speak. But it's very definite and it's very clear that God does speak. And God has many, many ways of communicating to us. And so with God today, we want to declare that it is not all picture and no sound. God very definitely speaks to people. I could have turned to God's word in numerous places this morning, and I could have read from numerous places about the mouth of God or the voice of God, or they heard God speaking. I could have taken you to the New Testament where Jesus spoke to the winds and the waves. Where he spoke into a grave and someone came out who was dead and they came out alive. I could have taken you to places where men were deaf and Jesus spoke and they were hearing again. God speaks today. And he wants to speak to your heart today. So we're reading this. We're not doing an exegesis of Exodus chapter 3. But just let you know how God can individually, personally speak and communicate to each one of us. Let's read together. Exodus chapter 3, the first 10 verses. Now Moses kept the flock of his Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called out unto him out of the midst of the bush, and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. And he said, draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon you are standing, the place where thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows, and I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of the land unto a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites, and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Now therefore behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. Come now hither, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And then Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4, simple word, here it says, and he answered and said, this is Jesus answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Amen, and we trust that the Lord will bless that reading of his word to our hearts. As we have been doing this little series on introducing God, or as God would say, let me introduce myself, we have been looking at the various ways in which God communicates, and we've been looking at expressly how that he whilst God is a spirit, and that means he has not a body, we've been seeing in the eyes of God, and we've been talking about the arms of God, and today we're looking at the mouth of God. God uses, it's called anthropomorphic language. God uses the parts of the human body to communicate to us his thoughts and his feeling and his guidance. And whilst he doesn't have a mouth, what it's really saying is God can speak to us whether he has a mouth or not. Whether he's got arms or not, he's able to embrace us and uphold us. And so it goes on. And so as we look at the mouth of God, we're really listening to how God speaks to us. Many treat God today as if he's all picture and no sound. We look at what he has done. We marvel at what he has done. We even dispute about what he has done. They try to describe what he has done. But hearing from him, oh, we don't expect it. We love to declare the wonderful creation that God has done, and yet we wonder how he can possibly speak to us. The problem is that many either think that God does not speak to them, or either that, or they are confused as to how he speaks. As I said, God is not physical, he's spirit. However, he communicates to us, and his word describes the various ways in which he communicates to us. Many have fallen foul for the devil's lies because they are confused as to how God speaks. If you're in the Bible study, you'll notice that after the millennial reign, where Christ has reigned for 1,000 years, after 1,000 years of observing a righteous, royal, majestic reign of King Jesus on the throne for 1,000 years, listening and looking and experiencing his majesty and grace and righteous way of living, the devil is, after that 1,000 years of experiencing firsthand King Jesus on the throne, he's able to deceive them. He must have spun them a yarn. Imagine being able to undo 1,000-year witness and testimony of the power of God and the visible sign of Jesus in Jerusalem as he reigns. And he's able to deceive them, the devil is able to deceive people in a moment. And one of the ways that the devil is deceiving men and women today is he's causing confusion as to how God speaks. Or sometimes in the minds and the hearts of people, he even questions if it's possible for God to speak. And I guarantee that perhaps there are many in this gathering who could say, yeah, I heard God speak. No, I didn't hear a voice. But it was just as clear as if I had heard a voice. But the devil is in the business of confusing that which God says. I picked up a few little funny sayings of boys that were, of children that were asked to make sentences out of words, to give you a little idea of how the devil confuses how God communicates to us. A little boy was asked by his teacher to make a sentence that included the word innuendo. And so he came back with his little line, his little phrase next week back to school, with his little sentence made out of the word innuendo. And he just said, if you ever get locked outside, just climb innuendo. This wee boy must have come from the Shankill Road. He was asked to make a sentence up out of Bakelite. And he said, my mother made a curry last night and nearly set my Bakelite. Another boy was asked to make a sentence out of centimetre. My granny came in on the bus last night and I was centimetre. The one that I remember from school was Mrs. North was teaching us English, which was trying to teach us English and history at the same time. She didn't succeed with me, but she tried her very best, which I appreciate. And if you're listening, Aileen, thank you so much for your efforts. It was whenever they're in the trenches in the First and the Second World War, they used to send along messages along these long trenches. And you've heard this one, send reinforcements, we're going to advance. By the time it got to the end of the trench, send three and fourpence, we're going to advance. The enemy's in the business of confusing what we're hearing from God. And he's in the business of either confusing or convincing us that we cannot hear from God. But if you notice over and over again in God's word, it says, God said, God said, God said. Moses very definitely heard God speak. And it's interesting as we read through the passage, God created a circumstance in Moses' life. In other words, God created a circumstance and got Moses' attention. And whenever God got Moses' attention, then God spoke. Then God spoke. And maybe God has allowed a circumstance or a situation in your life, and he's just wanting to speak into your circumstance, and he wants you to hear. Jesus said, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says. So what word will God speak to you today? What word does God want to give you today? What word are you going to hear this morning that will impact your life, not only for today, but for eternity? And you can sit in this meeting and you can close your ears to what God will say. You can sit in this meeting and you can allow the devil to confuse what God is saying to your heart. Or as our college principal used to say, if only we would open our ears to the inflow of grace and hear what God would say, we will never stay the same again. He will change us for time and for eternity. You know what my prayer is today? That every one of us will leave this place changed from having heard God's word. So what will God say? Well, let me tell you and make a few suggestions to you. When God first speaks to you and I, it will be with a converting word. He wants to convert us. He wants to take us off the broad road onto the narrow road. He wants to bring us out of death and onto life. The word of God says that he's not willing that any should perish, regardless of what people and men might say. God is often portrayed as a tyrant, a dictator. Someone who loves no one and wants to command and control everyone. My Bible tells me that he's not willing that any should perish. And as often as I've seen God's word, I see him intervening in the affairs of men and women. And every time he speaks to men that are out of sync or out of light or on the broad road, he's always wanting to bring them onto the narrow road. And God will always speak to you and I first and foremost, impressing upon our hearts conviction, guilt, shame, concern, urgency of the state, and the strife or the stagnancy of our hearts. Wasn't it Noah that moved with fear as God warned him of the flood to come? Didn't God say to Abraham, get thee up out of Ur and move from Ur the Chaldees to a place that I will show you? And if he hadn't have listened to God, he would have died in Ur of the Chaldees and he would never be known today. God spoke to Saul, who became Paul, on the road to Damascus. Why are you persecuting me? I want to tell you, dear friends and family, and those of you who are listening online, or perhaps those who will listen later on to the recording, the first word that God will speak will be a word of conversion. He wants to bring us into the fold and the family of God. And as I've mentioned earlier, God can speak through set crises. God can speak through your circumstances. Didn't he speak to Esther and I, as some of you learned recently, of the death of our son when he was 17 months, and spoke to us about the brevity of time and the eternity of eternity? And though my ear up until that point was deaf, I wasn't willing to listen to God. At that moment when I was looking at our little 17-month-old son going down into the grave, I said, "Son, I know where you're going," but I didn't know where I was going, and that troubled me. God speaks through the circumstances, and God speaks through death, as I'm sure the Patterson family are already recognizing today. And many of you sitting in this church, you have had crises and events when you said God must be real, or else, or you've questioned the very existence of God and the very purpose of your soul. God has spoken through circumstances, through crises. But let me tell you, God will always, always confirm whatever he said in his word. It'll be his word. Faith cometh by, and hearing by, the word of God. You see, the word of God that you've got before you is God's map book out to glory. That this is God's recipe for a glorified life. And God often, through his word, will create an awareness of Christ and our sinfulness. And he'll speak to us about the urgency of getting right with God. And I want to tell you, my dear friend, I want to ask you this morning, if you haven't responded already to the word of God, then the devil has been successful. Because he's confused you. Or he has contradicted God's word. There can only be one reason that we haven't responded already to the voice. And listen, I'll tell you how powerful this voice is. When he spoke to the tomb of Lazarus, he said, "Lazarus, come forth." And even death couldn't hold him back. When he spoke to the seas and the storms, and Jesus spoke to that storm, he says, "Peace, be still." And the storms rescinded. Isn't it an awful indictment in the condition of the human heart? That whenever God speaks to us, we somehow are unable to withstand the voice of God to our hearts. When God speaks. Although he knew, God knew, that we have a tendency to reject. We want to live according to our impulses. We want to live according to our instincts. We want to live according to our feelings. We want to live according to others' opinions. But we don't want to live according to God's word, because it's a high standard. And he said to the children of Israel, "Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your hearts." The first word that I heard, and the first word that you'll hear from God, will be a word of conversion. If you're not converted, it must be because the enemy is being successful in distorting the word of God to your heart. I love what Peter says. Oh, he's one of those boys I greatly identify with. "To who else can we turn? You alone have the words of eternal life." Have you been converted? I'm not asking, have you become a holy Joe? I'm not asking, have you become one of the God squad? I'm asking, is God real in your heart? Has there been such a change and transformation as God threw the light of his word into your heart, and as he confirmed it by the crises and the circumstances of your life? As I've said already, whenever Moses was drawn and attracted by this bush that wasn't, but that burned. Listen, in those days, whenever bushes burned, it was a natural effect, because it was a very dry and arid ground, and a burning bush was a common thing. But what drew, as you'll see from the text from Exodus chapter 3, he saw a bush that burned was not consumed. I must go and see this thing. In other words, hear this now. God brought Moses to a place where he was willing to listen. The first word that you'll hear is a converting word. But I want to tell you, maybe you are converted. Albeit you're just hanging on by the skin of your teeth. And they could be titanium, couldn't they? So God wants to speak to you a creating word. Now what do I mean by that? Well, here, listen what it says in Genesis 1 and 3. God said, let there be. And through the whole course and commentary of the creation of God, chapter 1 and chapter 2, we see God creating. He bring order out of chaos. He brought meaning out of meaninglessness. He brought beauty out of ashes. I'm sure it's no secret to you. Maybe it is. God can speak into your situation and totally transform it. It doesn't mean now, it does not mean that the situation or circumstances might be removed. But sometimes God has a wonderful way of speaking into the situation that we feel our world is crumbling right around us. For example, there might have been those who came into church today with hurt. Do you know what he says? Speak peace to my soul. There might have been those who came in today and you've got a gripe against God. You didn't understand what he was doing in that life of yours or in that family of yours. Remember when he spoke to Mary and Martha? He says, I am the resurrection and the life. God says through his word, your situation, your circumstances do not have to stay the same. Let God speak into it. Hear what he's saying. Be still and know that I am God. What is he saying? Let me do it my way. Not what do you call your man that sang it? I'll do it my way. What do you call your man? What was his name? Oh, your man Sinatra. I'll do it my... Oh, dear. That's tough. And there's a lot of people trying to get through the messes of their life in their own way. And all the while, if we could only get a wee grip of this, all the while, God is by that circumstance or situation trying to bring you to the place where you'll be still and know that he is God. You see, here's what it says in Psalm number 33 and verse 6. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, their starry host by the breath of his mouth. What I know about any manufacturer or creator, they're the ones that knows best how a thing works. Isn't that right? Well, let me tell you this wee story. There was a man driving along in the very first Henry Ford car. Does anybody remember one of those old black cars? Was it Henry Ford used to say, you can have any color as long as it's... Anybody remember them? Remember you used to have to crank them up and get them going? I remember driving one. You didn't think I was that ancient, sure you didn't. I know I look well, but I had to crank them up. Well, this boy had the very first Henry Ford car. And he was chugging along, and the next thing then, she stopped dead. Try what he may, he couldn't get it going. And another man, fine, well-dressed man, pulled up beside him and said, are you having bother? Oh, he says, I can't get her going again. She's stalled on me, I can't get her going. Well, can I have a look in? And your man looked at this man all dressed up, and he's dressed up in his three-piece suit, and he looked so fine, and his hat on. And he says, well, he says, I don't think you'll be successful, because I haven't managed. He says, I don't think you'll manage either. He said, but how about we go anyway? And of course the man looked up, lifted up the bonnet and was looking in onto the engine and he footed here and he footed there and then he gave her a crank and she got going. Boy, she spluttered and splattered. The next thing she was revving and she was going really well. The man says, how did you know how to fix her? He says, I'm Henry Ford. You see, that's the thing. Sometimes we try to fix up our own lives. Sometimes we try to sort out our own issues. Sometimes we try to even make our own little lives better by trying some self-effort. God says, let me. He spoke light into those whose eyes were in darkness. He spoke life into those who were lifeless. He spoke liberty into those who were in bondage. He gave those ability to speak who were otherwise mute. You see, he wants to recreate. He wants to renew. He wants to revive and he wants to refresh. He's your creator. And he wants you to live for his glory. God speaks a word to do with our conversion. God speaks a word to do with creation. God speaks a word of counsel. Now, it says in Psalm 32 and verse 8, let me read it to you. I will instruct you and teach you in the way that you should go. I will counsel you with my loving eye on you. I love that rendering. You see, this Job said, he knoweth the way that I take. You know, he knows all our hearts, doesn't he? Doesn't he? He knows how selfish we can be. And he knows how stubborn we can be. Isn't that true? Does anybody want to witness that? No, keep your hand down. He knows how often we are confused and how easily we are confused. He even knows how easily we are led astray. But in this little text he's saying, I will counsel you because I've got my eye on you. And he says, I know what you're prone to do and I know the direction that you're prone to take. But I'm going to try and steer you in the right way. I'm going to steer you in the right way. Why does he counsel our hearts? Let me read you another little verse. Isaiah 30, verse 21. Whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. And we might question why he's leading that way, but all the way he's trying to guide us into blessing and he's trying to steer us away from destruction. And I love that little song, by and by, when the morning comes, we'll understand. Do you want to break out in song? We'll understand it better. By and by, whenever Jesus got down there and washed the disciples' feet, they were all there feeling a little bit embarrassed and they were feeling a little bit put out. And he looked up into their eyes and he says, what I do thou knowest not now, but you will hereafter. I don't understand everything that God does in my life. I want to tell you, many of you folk, you all know the testimony. I'm here nearly almost 8 years. Isn't that a miracle, isn't it? Well, I want to tell you, my call to this church is as clear today as it was 9 years ago. And I'm only here yet. And the things, when I was lying on the flat of my back, not fit to move for 3 months in Larne, at the beginning of that 3 months, because of three prolapsed discs, and had two legs with sciatica down, running down both of them, and was so high, and I'm not going to tell you the whole story, I was so high on morphine and all those drugs that they were pumping into me, that I've seen all sorts of hallucinations. I was questioning God, Lord, why are you allowing this? Why did you say that? And his word was guiding. He was saying things in a different way. I didn't realize that the consequence of lying for 3 weeks on the broad of my back was part of God's guiding hand on my life. And that's one of the reasons that I came to be here. Because he put me on the broad of my back so I could listen to him. Don't fight against God. And when he speaks into your heart, when he counsels you, he's counseling you because he sees your future and he's trying his best to guide you to the future that he has for you. I'll counsel you with my eye on you. In other words, he knows, but he knows the end from the beginning, doesn't he? He knows what's just around the corner. Ah, boys, I could tell you story after story. And I say to myself, Trevor, I'm querying, aren't you querying glad you made that decision that way back then? And it could have been a silly thing like a suit of clothes or a pair of shoes or an old car or something. Aren't you querying glad? But now that I look back, I see God's guiding hand counseling me. And whilst I thought it was great wisdom on my part, it was him. Isn't that it? I think, and it's only in these recent last couple of years, that I'm really beginning to understand what it means to trust God. Do you know that? What it really means to trust God. You see, sometimes we pray and we believe God and somehow, I hope that works out now. I like to think that whenever you trust God now, you just, well, listen, Lord, if this fails, then we've all failed. Then you and I have both failed. That it not dependent upon the human or physical circumstances. Now, I'm not talking about senseless nonsense. I'm talking about taking him at his word whenever we're approaching or attempting something, and he's led us very definitely and guided us into that place. Then just say, Lord, right, you take over. I'm not going to lift one hand to make it happen. You hearing me? I'm not going to lift one hand to make it happen because I trust you. Get it from God and then believe it of God. Here's the last thought. I'm sure Eva wants to get home to get her tea, don't you, Pat? God speaks as oftentimes as a word of caution. Here's what Ezekiel 33:11 says, as I live, saith the Lord, I have no death in the pleasure of the wicked, but the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye, for why will ye die, O house of Israel? I want you to notice the identity of those people, Israel, God's chosen people. And he was telling them that while they were his chosen covenanted people, if they didn't wise up and smell the coffee, their joy and their confidence in God was going to die. Now, this can be a word of caution to the unbeliever. There is eternity that is sure. And eternity for those out of Christ is not the most hospitable place that you can imagine. It's the most inhospitable. But for the believer, oh, I tell you, eye hath not seen, nor ear hath heard, nor hath it entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love him. Have you heard a word this morning that will change the direction of your life? Or has the devil so distracted you and confused you that you haven't heard? The saddest thing that could happen today is that the enemy would be successful and you haven't heard. Let's pray together. Father, we pray that every soul in this gathering will recognize the Lord's speaking voice to their hearts. And Father, you're tirelessly, endlessly reaching out in grace and mercy. And you want us to hear what you're saying. There are multitudes, Lord, on the road to destruction, and you're calling to each one of them. There are many of your children, Lord, living in Bypath Meadow when they should be tasting of the wonderful provision of God. Whatever the case may be, Father, we pray that you'll come to this body of people, and Lord, that you'll cause them to hear what you're saying. In the Savior's name we pray. Amen. We're going to stand and sing together hymn number 330, I Hear Thy Welcome Voice. Do come back again this evening. We're looking at Psalm 40, from the mire to the choir, and the blessings that can be ours when we know his saving grace. Number 330, we'll stand and sing. Thank you. Thank you. If there are those who would like us to pray with them this afternoon, if you want God to meet with you and have decided such, if you'd just like to speak with us, please do so. We'll take all the time that is necessary so that you can go through with God today. Our Father, we thank you for your presence. We commit ourselves to you. May the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit rest, abide, remain with us now and until Jesus comes or calls. We ask it in his name and for his glory. And all God's people said, amen. And they shouted,
amen.
Amen. Thank you.